four. Oh, there we go. Okay, good. Okay, so again, no number of Kedushin, three lines from the before the Mishnah. So, who gathers in Nuch Sedetel Mesek Shol, the Sofal Salak? So he sells his property to Yisrael, he ends up not going. And Ravashi by Salak. So it says, if he wants, he can still go. So Rashi says, B'dei Kaimim Elsev, La Balazvine. So look, you could still go. So the deal is still open. Then the deal isn't knocked out because you still have the ability to go. So the guy who you sold it to will say, listen, it doesn't go back. Why does it go back? Because you didn't go. So go now. So go now. Keep going. You can, at any point, you can say, so go. Okay. And that's Ravashi. Vika da Amri, you know, the other way to learn, Iboi lo salik, if he wants, he can't go. Rashi, bid me on us. Is someone preventing him from going? So go. Go if you want. Is anyone preventing you? Okay, sounds like the same thing, just a matter of whether he's saying it straight or saying it as a bit me out. Saying it like rhetorically. So the Gemara says, "My benayu, yigur benayu, this yelad on saborcha." Difference is if there's an onas. Shama shahu listim bederach. So you heard that there's robbers on the road. The lishna kama lo adrin zvini. According to the first way, the sale doesn't go back. Tehalchi kamar. The iboi lemetrach ulahadure basar shayrasa havesalik. Because he says to him, he'll say, "Look, if you want to go and get." Like a carriage, a caravan, whatever, people are going, you could go, so the robber's on the road. So yeah, if you travel on your own, you're never going to be able to go, because the robbers are going to get you. But if you go with a big group, so the robbers aren't going to be able to take you over. So it says, now it's true, it's going to be a big tircha, and you're going to have to manage to, you know, to get this caravan together, but you could do it. And you could do it. So therefore, that's the seller, the buyer's taina. The buyer's taina will say, look, you could go. It's not my problem that you don't want to do it. So you don't want to do it. That's it. But the deal's a deal. Ulishna basra dekametame etmuhe. According to the second gear, so that it's like a rhetorical question. Umashba shalohi lanshunikov. It says, look, can't you go? Is there anything stopping you? But avim ha'ilot tzarikov. But if there is something stopping him, hajosivine, then it does go back. Then it does go back. The thing is, according to the second slide, again, if you say to the guy, because if the chaos, of course, what's the buyer's taina? If his buyer's taina is, look, you could still go, so look, you could still go, even if they're robbers, you could still go. If his robber's taina is, look, can you still go? Is there anything stopping you? So you say, no, I can still go, because there are robbers stopping me. Okay? That's pshat. Problems? Right, that's a question. It just sounds like you can force either one. I mean, the first way he says, look, you can still go. He said, no, I can't go. There are robbers. And so he says, look, can you still go? So yeah, I could still go. So there are people blocking you. Can you still get around them? Like, what's the difference if you say it rhetorically or if you say it straight? Either way, the answer is he could go if he goes through a tircha of getting a caravan. And he can't go otherwise. So who cares? This is a matter of whether you want to, who cares if you say it rhetorically or if you don't say it rhetorically? And conceptually, what's the difference? I mean, the rhetorics is one. The question of how it sounds, you know, is one thing. But the question is, that's one point. It's like, how does the lashon imply one or the other? But the question is, conceptually, what's really the difference? So what's the svara as to say? Is this? That's what it boils down to, really. Is the thing knocked out or is the thing not knocked out? Right? I mean, you have to figure out the lashon exactly. I mean, but
particularly because,
I mean, that's the fact here. The facts are: look, you can't go under the normal way. You could go with the caravan. So the question is that a deal breaker? Okay, and as you said, I'm going to go on the condition I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So if it was impossible to go, they closed up borders, it's simply there's no way to go, they canceled all plane flights, it's impossible to go, then everyone would agree that the deal's off. If it's easy to go, right, this is simply, you can just get on an airplane, it's easy to go, then everyone's going to say that the deal's still on. But here it's saying is where you could go with difficulty. You're going to have to be to Torah and go after the caravan. So the question is, do you say that's considered, that's a deal breaker, that's not a deal breaker? Right? That's the facts. And the question is, conceptually, what's the question? And then I guess, how do you fit this into this lashon of the rhetorical or not? So that's good. So David just getting the ball rolling here. It says that it would seem the side to say. Let me ask you just another question. Why can't you just say, forget on us, let's just say straight. Why don't you say, look, I didn't go. I'm selling you my house on the condition that I'm going to go to Yisrael. And I don't go. I didn't go. I stayed. Why don't you just say that? You know what I mean? Well, who needs onus? Why not just say that? I'm just saying, before I get to that question, but I'll just say, I think methodologically, I feel like the question of the pshat, the linguistics, like why it is that rhetorical or not, you know, why is the lashon more mashma one way or another way? It's a hard question, first of all, and I feel like it kind of takes second seat to the theoretical question. You know what I mean? Like, that's a question of, is how do you, like, there's two theoretical possibilities of what he meant, and this semantics, this way to state it implies this way, and this way to state it implies the other way. You know what I mean? But, like, given that you don't have a theoretical understanding of what the question is, now you're just dealing with the semantics, and the semantics don't really make sense. So how are you going to go about figuring them out without having a theory of the two sides? You know what I mean? Otherwise, you're just going to play the semantics, and you can argue semantics until tomorrow. I feel like you're in a better position to figure out the semantics once you have a concept, at least on a basic level, of what the conceptual hakira is. Then maybe go back to the semantics. Maybe the semantics will help you get it better. Maybe, you know what I mean? But I just feel like, for starters, I mean, if you think about it for a little bit with the semantics, I mean, I think you'll pretty quickly realize you can just argue both ways. I mean, it's hard for me to say it. I mean, you just think about the thing. It just doesn't, it just doesn't add up. So that's why I think methodologically, I don't think, my opinion, that's not the place to start with the semantics. So again, and my third question is, why don't you just say, look, I sold you my house on condition that I'm moving. Condition that I move. So now I don't move? Okay, so I didn't move. So that's it. It should be, I don't care why. Bottom line is, I did on condition I move. And now I didn't move. So the deal should be off, right? That's the way we were thinking of it yesterday until now, right? I mean, isn't that what we thought? I mean, well, yesterday we were talking about he goes to Eretz Yisrael and he can't find the thing. But, I mean, wouldn't you, that's the way we were thinking about it. He said, condition I move, and I didn't move. So that should be it. But here, it's complicated. No one's holding that. They're holding, well, it's because he tried, but he really couldn't, because does that count? Does that not count? But you see, there's an underlying premise in this Gemara that you can't just say, I didn't move. So, of course, why not? Wasn't the Tanai that, on the condition that I move? It's not really a Tanai, just point that way. It's not B'nai Gav, B'nai Reuven, doesn't have the Tzura, but it just means that it's expressing your Das, that the sale is on this Das. Right. So I only have Das for this sale, and if the conditions aren't met, that I never had Das for that. I was selling it with this Das, then I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. So now if I don't go, then I never had Das on that. You know, so I'm like revealing my Das, and therefore the sale is contingent upon the Das. So I think that David and Dr. J are saying that you're not doing a sale here. No one does this. No one buys a house like that. No one buys a house that says, look, I'm selling you the house, but if you want at any moment, you could just say, hey, deal's off. That's crazy. I mean, maybe if there is such a sale like that, I mean, I'm not saying there never exists such a sale like that, but it's certainly the price is going to be very, reflect that, you know? It's not a normal deal. That's not what's going on here. I mean, when you set up a Tanai, like, I'm selling you a house on the condition that it rains. So then you'll say, or the das that it rains. And you say, look, it rains or it doesn't rain. But like, the problem is when you set up a Tanai which is contingent upon me, like that I'm going to buy selling my house on the condition that I go to Eretz Yisrael, it can't just mean there's this thing called me going to Eretz Yisrael, and if it happens, then I'm going to go, and if it doesn't happen, I'm not going to go. Because, well, no, the other guy's never going to agree to that, because he's going to agree to something which is totally in my hands. That's basically saying that you get to decide whether you want the deal to be on or off at any moment, and just at any whim, you could just knock out the sale. But that's not a normal das. I mean, that's not the assumed das. When you say that I'm selling you my house, like this and going to Eretz Yisrael, it means I have plans to go to Eretz Yisrael. I'm working on my plans, I'm really trying to go, and I'm selling you my house. But I realize there's a reality that things fall through, and who knows, and therefore I'm stipulating it to my das is that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. But if a guy just decides, after he sells it, hey, you know what, I love this house, and I could get a better deal elsewhere. He says, you know what, I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael, and then sell it to somewhere else, and then, I mean, you just can't have a, that's not the das, that's not the implicit das. Implicit das means I'm going to lengths, to the proper appropriate methods of getting to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm selling it to you on the condition that this thing works out. So if it does, so if it doesn't work out, then you could say, look, it didn't work out. So if the question here is, well, let's say if there's an anus. If it's impossible, you'll say, look, it didn't work out. It fell through. But the question is, let's say there's an anus. Then what happens? Do you say, look, it didn't work out? Didn't work out. You say, no, look, it could still work out. You could go. I mean, we have to define this. I'm just saying, framing where the question is. Definitely means that on the condition that I go to Eretz Yisrael, and I'm trying to go, and if I try and it doesn't work out, then the mekach is batal. That's all implicit in this thing. But now the question is, what happens when it's not impossible? It just becomes very difficult. The big tircha. It's funny Rashi doesn't say it costs you money, but presumably it does cost you money. I mean, I don't know why he doesn't say that. You know, he says a mitrach. You know, to go after a shayara. He focuses on the tircha, not on the money. But I mean, presumably it would be even if it costs money. What I'm saying is that's what it's a normal people. No normal person agrees to a sale that they're going to basically leave it totally up to the other guy's whim to sell it. That's not a sale. That's just subjecting yourself to torture. You don't buy a house and move into the house with this stipulation that a guy could at any moment just kick you out. Now, it's true. I mean, I'm not saying it's impossible, but that's not stam das. When you make a sale and you say, I'm selling my house in condition I go to Yisrael, it means there's an implicit statement of that I'm trying to move to Yisrael, my plan is to move to Yisrael, I'm doing this deal on the condition it works out, assuming it's where it's going to work out. But you can't just stop and say, look, I'm not interested anymore, I changed my mind, I want to sell the house to someone else, or I want to just live here, I'd rather live in my house. I mean, you can't just change your mind, that's not the conditions. Again, conditions are a fair-handed sale, unless you say the price is like the terrible price, or you know, then that would be made explicit. Even that is under Yisrael. Then just saying, like, you could say Yisrael, but I'm saying you don't assume that's das. That's like a premise of this Gemara. You don't assume that's what they mean, because that's really an exceptional kind of a sale. An exceptional sale, you say it. So far I think we should stick with the one side as being easier. Is like David was saying before, is the side to say that the deal's off, because that's not what you meant. When I say that I'm going to go to Yisrael, I mean, I'm assuming certain conditions, whatever they may be, that there are no robbers on the road, for instance, and it's easy to go, and I'm saying that I'm selling you my property under those assumptions, and now things change. And now it's a whole big tircha to go to Yisrael. Now, would I sell you my house if I knew that was the case? I mean, arguably not. Arguably not. That's a whole different scenario. I never had das on that. That's a different situation. So look, is it impossible for me or no? It's still possible. I still could go, but you know, but why don't you say that Stam Das was not on that case? Was not assuming things get sticky. Right? I mean, right. Or what's the Mabes or what's the Machlokas? But I just feel like that's, if you take that, I mean, that's a good argument. It seems to be a good argument for the side to say that the deal should be off. I mean, I would say on the surface, look, there's such a thing as, of course, where you draw the line. I'd say there's, I don't know exactly practically how to draw the line, but I'd say there's such a thing as normal assumed conditions that, look, sometimes airline tickets go up a little bit, sometimes they go down a little bit. That's the assumed thing that, you know, sometimes they say you can take two bags, sometimes they say three bags, there's only a window seat. I mean, there's just whatever, there are different types of conditions. And then there's an idea that the tickets go five times their price, or you have to take a boat to Israel. I don't know, there's like, that's already an abnormal, out-of-the-way type of a thing. It's not just a normal fluctuation. Of course, there are always fluctuations. But saying is, I have to start going to find myself a carriage, a wagon of people who are going to go is already a big tircha. I mean, if it's just a normal thing, I'd say, of course, there's no question. So it must be that it's a thing which is beyond normal. So if it's a thing which is beyond normal, so then it would seem to be I never had thoughts on that. So look, it's still possible for me, but is that what I meant? I meant that I'm going to go under all conditions no matter what. I mean, that doesn't cost me 10 times the price of my house. I mean, that's what I meant. Just hard to understand. I mean, that's the question. And so Rafi is asking, why not say the same things yesterday? Once you're stipulating, then you just go by what you said literally. But it says, if you really go on that, then it would be on the condition that you go to Eretz Yisrael. And then for whatever reason, no matter what, if he doesn't go, it would be void, even if it's a whim. So he says, that apparently can't be. That's clear cut. No one does that. So it must be that he was implying, even though he said it, it has to be that he was assuming something. The question is, what was he assuming? And how does that assumption jive with the case of honest? I mean, I guess from yesterday, we're not saying the guy always says it. Just we assume once you're saying, you said everything. But here it's clear that it's not the case. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you let's take as a step, maybe methodology, I'm not sure, but this is like, let's say I'd ask you to put words into the guy's mouth on either side. Now, the guy is basically, he's obviously not spelling out all the terms of the deal, right? He's just saying, I guess I got Eretz Yisrael. So if you'd say like the first way, how's he interpreting Again, putting it into words. Again, forget it. Imagine he said everything explicitly. So what are the words that the first way are putting into the guy's mouth, and what are the words or the second way is putting into his mouth? Or not the words, the whole, like, what's the deal? How does the first way understand the deal, and how does the second way understand the deal? You know, if we could just, like, clarify what's the deal, and more of, or, you know, not just the result that, you know, on us is the difference, but, like, how are you, you know, elaborate on what's the deal according to the first way, what's the deal according to the second way? You know, once we define the two deals, then we can maybe get into what's the question whether you should say deal A or deal B. But, that's, you know what I mean? So, you could see I do either one. So David's saying the one which says the deal's off, he says, I'm saying, it says, if I said, assuming normal conditions prevail, I was selling you my field. Okay? Normal conditions, namely moving to Eretz Yisrael, whatever. Assuming normal conditions, under the assumptions that normal conditions prevail, I'm selling you my house. Now, once there's an onus, that's not the assumption. The assumption is, under the assumption that normal conditions prevail, I'm selling you the house. Right? That's just the long version of what's the deal, according to the, I guess that's the second side. Right? So how would you formulate the same thing according to the other way, the first way? So good. So David's saying, which I think is good. I mean, I think you feel, well, I'll say it, but then I'll go there in a second. But he says, I'm selling you my house. Okay, I'm selling you my house. It's a deal. But if I can't go, then I want to be able to get out. Okay, so I'm selling it to you with like an escape clause. Okay?
Can't go,
right. If I can't go. Now, right. That's what I'm doing. Is I'm selling you my house with the idea that if I can't go, then the deal's off. Okay? In other words, why say it that way? Why not just say, because the reason why I think it doesn't make sense to say, the first way was, assuming normal conditions prevail, I'm selling you my house. That makes sense. It doesn't make sense to say, assuming normal and pretty normal, not that normal, but not absurd condition prevail, then I'm going to sell you my house. That doesn't make sense. In other words, if you're saying is, assuming X, Y, Z, that you mean, assuming things are the way they are, then I'm selling you my house. You know, that's, now then once something changes, then something changes. That's not the assumption. Assuming normalcy, not assuming abnormalcy. But the other way is to say, no. There's no conditions. I'm selling you my house unless it becomes impossible for me to go.
It's almost like the Icarus.
Unless I can't go. You don't say unless normal conditions don't prevail. In other words, that's if it's like a removal, you're saying it's really, my das is I'm selling you my house. But since the whole reason why I was interested in this thing is I'm going to Eretz Yisrael and I want to go, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael. Basically, I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm selling you my house. But unless something happens, unless this thing doesn't work out, unless it falls through, then basically I want to be able to back out. Whereas the other way is saying, no, I'm selling you, under XYZ conditions, I'm selling you my house. Okay, or to describe it more so, just to describe the personalities and the psychologies a little more, one way is to say, listen, I'm moving. We're making Aliyah. Okay, this is what's happening. Okay, our plans, we're ready, we're doing it. We're taking the leap. Okay, now, so I'm selling my house. But of course, I know that the reason I'm only selling my house is because of that, so I'm saying, listen, we made up our minds to make it. Now, if it becomes impossible, and we have to change our plans, it's impossible, then of course I want to have an escape clause. But I'm selling you my house. I'm really selling it. I'm not making it. There's a difference between a condition and an escape clause. Really, I'm selling you my house with a back out clause. As opposed to the other way is, wow, this is a great opportunity to go to Israel. Look at that, it's a great time to go. Everything, the tickets are cheap, whatever. Assuming things are as easy and things go, this opportunity is still present, then under those conditions, I'm going to do the sale. Okay, in other words, that's a different type of a deal. Once again, there's a deal, that's an idea of a deal which is built on conditions. As opposed to the other one, it's not a deal which is built on conditions, it's a deal which is a deal, but it has a built-in escape clause, a built-in way out. There isn't a way out and building a condition, a deal on conditions. Again, this is just a for, this is just defining the two ways. I mean, two ways of what the deal is. What does, I mean, well, maybe we'll go further, but what does the guy mean when you say, I'm selling my house and I go to Eretz Yisrael? Does he mean, I'm selling you my house? Period. Unless, under this das, so if I can't, then it's knocked out. Or does he mean, if these conditions prevail, then I'm selling you my house? In which case, if they don't prevail, then I'm not selling you my house. So it's just to play it out. Okay, so the play out is that, so if you say, I'm selling you my house, we're making aliyah. Okay, I'm selling you my house. Oh, but I want to back out. I want an escape clause. So then it means, that's my plan. It's this absolute sale unless it becomes impossible. So then you'll say, you buy of it, you can still do it. You can still do it. It's not impossible. So it's a little bit of a tircha. Look, if you want to make aliyah, a little bit of a fare increase isn't going to prevent you. I mean, or whatever. I mean, so go get a shayara. That's what your plan is. You're selling your house. Now, again, if you can't do it, that's the escape clause. But this isn't you can't do it. You still can do it. So it's harder. Okay, fine. But notice, you had full das to do the thing. It's just that you want to have the back out clause if it's impossible to move. But now it's still possible, so therefore you still have to do it. But if you say that I'm selling, that assuming conditions X, Y, Z, normal market conditions prevail, this is a great opportunity. Assuming this opportunity still exists, then I'm going to sell you my house. So then the second an onus comes along, right? So then you say, look, now that wasn't, once it becomes harder, that's not the conditions upon which I built it. I built it upon the conditions, the current conditions. I didn't build it upon the change conditions. Right? Well, the first I say, look, when I make a deal, there's assumed conditions. And I'm assuming, I'm making it based on these conditions. Now, these conditions still assume certain fluctuations, basic, you know, but these are basic conditions.
And therefore, it's always going to, therefore...
Therefore, it's going to be good as long as these conditions are prevalent. But as long, if it changes, and there becomes robbers on the road, now I never agreed with those conditions. Those are different conditions. So now you'd have to ask me again, would I agree? I never agreed to that.
Yeah.
I mean, but so if you make it based on conditions, you're making it based upon the current conditions. But if you make it absolute, just with an escape, like a way out, then the way out is if I can't do it. Not just anything, you know, that means really I want to do it. The second way is really I want to do it. I don't know which way, first way, whatever. First way, really I want to do it. I'm doing it, absolutely. I'm doing it. Now, if it's not possible, then I can't do it. But so I'm making the deal. It's a sale. It's a real sale. I'm selling my house. You moved in. I'm selling the house. Now, I know I want to build in an escape clause because I know it's some, you never know what could happen. So if I can't do it, I can't do it. I'm going to have to get out. Okay, I mix up the order. And as the first side is saying is that I'm selling it absolutely unless it becomes impossible, an escape clause. The second side is saying... The second way is saying is I'm selling it assuming these conditions. So once there becomes some onus, then that's not, that wasn't my das. So far what we've done is we've defined the deal two ways. We've defined saying we've defined clearly the way both sides are understanding what's the deal here. Because when a guy says I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, I'm selling my house, and because I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, there are two ways to understand what the stam das is in this deal, and there are two good formulations. There are two types of people, two types of deals which are going on. And we define them both well, and they both, how and show how they lead to this and this result. What we haven't done is, like, why would you say one way or the other way? Like, gone a little bit further. I mean, we've defined it in this sense, it would kind of be arbitrary. Like, how would you pick which way, like, what's it based upon? How do you pick, does he mean this, does he mean that? I don't know. I mean, there are two types of deals, and they both seem to be legitimate types of psychologies and legitimate personalities. So is it a question about can we go further than that? At this point, we don't have any psychology even. It's just kind of defining two types of deals. Presumably, the question is stam das this type of deal or stam das that type of deal? But then, to get an intuition about that, you'd have to show why, what's the psychology of each one such that they're compelling or something like that. I mean, there's going to come a point where there's going to be a shekel das, but that's why it's always tricky in svara, when do you stop? But I just feel like at this point, it's not satisfying. You know what I mean? Although I think it's a good first step, and if you could only say this, I think you've gone much more than you've gotten without saying this. So, I mean, you should be happy if you just get this. It's definitely a step. But somehow, I mean, you have to go with your mind. But I think my mind, probably your my guys' minds, feel unsatisfied at this point. So it would be good if we go a little further. I think this is a good definition. I think it's a halachic. I think it's just a matter of what's the svara behind. Like, it's almost like this is a good definition, but like, what's the svara? Like, one guy's saying is this deal is, it's a deal with a way out. And the other one's saying, is it a deal al tanai? You know, like the stam das, is it a deal with the built into al tanai, or is it a deal with, like, I don't know, hafka or something like that? The ability to be mafkia the deal. But the question is, what's the sense? I mean, it's just a matter of defining two different types of deals, but what's the idea? What's the compelling logic? What's the svara behind it? Something like this. Maybe the way is which one's simpler. What's the smoother way? So I'd say the smoother way is the first way. I don't know the numbers anymore, but the smoother way is that you're doing it under these conditions. Because you are doing it under these conditions. There are conditions. You're evaluating. That's the way you make deals, right? Whenever you make a deal, in general, that's the way things work. You look into the conditions and you say, oh, these are good conditions for me to make a deal. And you stipulate, you know, you make it, and if your saying is, I'm doing this, selling you my house on the condition that I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, that's an expression that you're making it based, you're making the deal based upon your abilities to go to Eretz Yisrael, which are assuming the current conditions. I mean, that's, you're specifically making it a Tanai, and you're assessing the thing based upon the current conditions at hand. That's the idea, is that you're making it all Tanai. That's the idea, is that you know you're making it on the condition of you being able to go. And the condition of being able to go is the das from where you stand. The das isn't assuming, I'm not saying assuming everything gets complicated and becomes robbers. I mean, I'm not assuming that. That's not, the simplest assumption is that I know that the condition's at hand, and I'm saying I'm doing it based upon those assumptions, based upon the continuance of that tonight. Okay, but maybe you say the other argument is you're right, and as that is, when a guy makes a deal, he's doing it based upon those conditions. But there is a psychology of finality. Okay, the psychology of a guy, it's true you're doing it because of these conditions. But the bottom line is, like, there's a certain thing, like, you know, there's like a person suddenly says, like, oh, I already came. Like, it's just, like, there's a certain thing, is, look, you sell the house. You moved out, the guy moved in, he got his stuff, or whatever it is, you did the closing, you did the, you know, you made the deal. When you make a deal, you give the Kenyan, maybe it's something like you were saying earlier, it's like you make the deal, you gave the Kenyan, the deal's a deal. And now, it's like, the idea is like, it's a deal which is, so to speak, made to be broken. You know what I mean? Like, it has to be broken. There's like a, even though when you did it based upon your assessing the conditions, and you were doing it based upon those conditions, but once the guy does the deal, when he sets up a deal and he's going through with it, there's a certain annoyance of the state of limbo, like assuming these conditions come up, and a person wants to be as close to finality as possible. The idea of an escape clause means is that a guy basically wants to make the deal as, of course he has to protect himself, it becomes impossible, but essentially what we're saying is that when a guy sells it, there's a force towards the finalization of the deal and the absoluteness of the deal. So therefore, even though, again, the deal is based upon prevalent conditions, but there's in business or in any of these things, there's an underlying current towards getting a deal done. So the question is, do you assume that that the way that the tonight is structured is that it's a deal unless there is a problem and it's something which makes it impossible? Or you say no, is that it's true people want finality and they're looking for that, but on the other hand, the deal was agreed upon and it was based, and the negotiations were based upon the current conditions, and therefore, when I'm sipping my tanai, I'm going to stick to what my original position, and I'm going to build it in. Although it's uncomfortable to have like a hanging deal, but that was what my das was based upon. So the question is, stam das, does the person, like, so to speak, rather just build into it, that it's totally on the market, the conditions which he agreed in the first place, or a guy once he does the deal, he's looking for finality, he's the stam das is a guy's on finality, and he's going to do it in a way where it's final unless he has to build in a protection, unless it becomes impossible. But essentially, a guy we assume people are structuring their deals in the way which is as close to finality as possible. You with me? I mean, it's a sense. I mean, again, I don't think this is the svara. This is like, this isn't the definition of the thing. This is like kind of I'm just giving you like a shikla das, like a way you could have an intuition one way or another. It's going to come down to a judgment call. Yeah. But the idea is, it fits well with the definition. Halachic. The halachic definition is when you say this tonight, is it a mechira al tanai, or is it like an absolute mechira with a an ability to be mafkia the deal. You know what I mean? With it's a deal, right? Now, is it intrinsically a hanging deal, a deal of al tanai, or is it a deal with the ability of a removal? So, and that's the question psychologically. Do you posit that people make hanging deals? That's why you'd say it. It's because the idea of a hanging deal is something which is psychologically unpleasant for a person. A person rather has a deal, which is an absolute deal, with, look, in the back of his mind, look, you could always get out. But that's already that's already assuming things get crazy. But the idea of a deal which is a hanging is less, more unsettling for people. But on the other hand, that's what they wanted. They wanted that das. So the question is, do you assume people will stick to their absolute das and suffer through the uncertainty? Or you say, Islam das is that a person wants to get it final and you make it as close to finalization as possible. You know, so that's again, that's more it's more speculative, but that's what I'm saying is the psychology behind it. Mentality, like, you know, I'm sure, like a contract in a meeting in a lawyer's office, like it's like I said, okay, let's get it done already. There's like a certain idea of having a deal of there's a pushing towards. It's unsettling being having a deal like that. So there's an underlying current towards people getting deals done. And business on the one hand is based on dollars and cents, and dollars and cents is better to leave it hanging. But it's also based upon people's happiness and people's psychological well-being, especially if you're dealing here with a house and you know, or whatever, where your property. So I mean, there's psychology involved as well, and that's where I'm saying is the shekel adas. Is in this, I'm sure there are many times where in business, I'm sure you cite examples where money talks, and other cases, I'm sure you cite examples where the psychology talks. So here is a particular instance which that's why I'm just kind of giving a framework, you know. I mean, but now it's up to the intuition of the Amorayim to be noted one way or another way. You know, the rest of it is up to that. You know, I mean, there's shekel das. I mean, you can't go beyond that. What I'm saying is there's two frameworks to consider, and the question is which one do we assume stam das? How do we assume stam das of a person? So what I'll do next time is we're jumping. I think it's the Mishnah on Nun Chasam Adbeis. Okay, and Mishnah on Nun Chasam, the beginning of the third parak, Omer. Okay, Omer. You can look at the Rambam. There are two Rambams. There's a Rambam in Ishus and a Rambam in Mechira. Ishus is quoted here on the side. There are two Rambams, one in Ishus and one in Mechira. You have to find the Mechira one. The Ishus is Tassid Zion. And the Tosos is, you do Tosos Omer. There's a Ran. We'll get started. If you want, I could find the Rambam. Should I find the Rambam? You want to please grab me a Rambam, Nashim? Is that Frankel? Yeah. Okay, so it's the other one is in Rambam is the Mechira again. One is in Ishus Tas Yud Zion, the other is Mechira Zion Yud. Yeah, Mechira Zion Yud. It's also in the Mishnah Ner Mitzvah. They're both in the Mishnah Ner Mitzvah. Anam Aleph. Because they're both in the Mishnah Ner Mitzvah.